Now, Paul moved on to verse 6, and this is tremendous through this area here in 1 Thessalonians. I marvel at it because Paul is talking to a group of folk that are just a few months old. I read a letter of these people that had just been saved 8 months, and they're just drinking in the Word of God today. They even call it dessert. Well, just think of these new saints there in Thessalonica. And Paul is talking to them about election, and he's talking to them about the great doctrines of the Christian faith. Now he's talking about how the gospel came to them, just not in word only, but actually in much assurance. Now we find here that he says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit." Now, Paul could cite Silas and Timothy and himself as examples. I personally would hesitate to give myself as an example. I don't think I'm a very good example. But just think that this man, Paul the Apostle, out in the Roman Empire, going from place to place, and he can give himself as an example. Now, he says here, and I think it related to him and to his followers here, that having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are two words that actually are, I suppose, antipodes apart. They are as far apart as the east is from the west. And that is suffering or affliction and joy. They don't go together. They don't belong together. Well, they're as extreme as night is from daylight, as cold is from hot. They're extreme in opposite direction. You just couldn't get them any farther apart. And we do not associate them together today. If a person is suffering and in affliction, he can't have any joy according to our natural way of looking at it. And if he's having joy in his life, then he sure can't be suffering. And yet, there have been wonderful saints of God that have endured affliction and at the same time have had the joy of the Lord in their hearts. Now, that's real triumph. I hear a great deal today, and I'm an example of it, and I just thank God for healing. Great many people talk about how wonderful it is God is healing. I want to say this to you. I know some wonderful saints of God, lots more wonderful than I ever hoped to be. And these people are lying right now on a bed of pain, a bed of affliction. And they have the joy of the Lord in their heart. And my friend, there's not a person today that's attending a nightclub or going to a show or participating today in any kind of an entertainment, going someplace to be entertained. You cannot sit there and suffer and enjoy it at the same time. The world can't put those two together. Paul says here, you receive the word in much affliction. There was suffering, persecution, heartache, heartbreak. But there was the joy of the Holy Spirit. My friend, that's what you call bittersweet. Or they have a Chinese dish in Chinese restaurant that is called the sweet sour or the sour sweet. And there is that in life. There can be that which is sour and bitter. And at the same time, there can be sweetness in the heart and life. There was a woman who is a famous poetess here in Southern California. You may have read, and I'm sure you've read some of her poems. But I had the privilege of baptizing her. She was a member of my church. We baptized her in a bathtub and couldn't take her anywhere else. And the minute I touched her, she screamed. because of the fact that that woman suffered all the time. She wrote her last, I think, book of poetry. She sent me a copy. The title of the book was Head Held High. That's great. Head Held High. In the midst of extreme human suffering, she had the joy of the Lord in her life. And I always left there having been ministered unto, and I never felt like I did very much ministering at a time like that. How wonderful it is to see today Christians that have had that kind of an experience and they still can rejoice in the Lord. May I say to you, friends, these are two words that you don't put together except in a Christian heart and in a Christian life, and not always in all of those, of course. But here was the example yonder in Thessalonica. And as a result, Paul says now in verse 7, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. In other words, Achaia was a province of Greece, and in all of Greece, actually, and in all of Macedonia, which took in the Greco-Macedonian Empire of Alexander the Great, as far as the European section of it was concerned, this church in Thessalonica, a Roman colony, in just a matter of a few months, was an example to all the others. What a glorious, wonderful testimony that they had. Today, we have examples in many places of individual Christians, but actually there are very few churches today as such that are known far and near as being examples of the Christian faith. Very candidly, that's a strange thing that we do not have more local churches. Now, it's been my privilege to get about over the country recently quite a bit, and I have been in several hundred churches since I've retired. And I could name several that I'm confident are examples today. Several churches that today are examples. And I'm not going to name one or two, because if I did, I'd leave out some others that ought to be named, and I sure can't call the roll of those churches. But there are some today, but you can't say all churches would be that. But now this church in Thessalonica was an example.